I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
This podcast contains discussions of child abuse, sexual repression and sexual abuse, suicide, racism, misogyny, PTSD and PTSD symptoms, and spiritual oppression and abuse, including guilt, shame, and fear. In most episodes, we will be mentioning some of these concepts in a general way without any graphic detail. If any of these topics or other triggering topics will be mentioned in great detail, we will let you know at the beginning of each individual episode, as well as in the show notes for that episode.
Welcome back to the Leaving Eden podcast, this homework edition of the Leaving Eden podcast. It's been a couple weeks. My name is Gavrielle Hakohen, and I am here with my co-host.
Hi, my name is Sadie Carpenter, and I am full of dangerous, sexy female empowerment, demonic spirits, and possibly the Illuminati.
The Illuminati?
Maybe.
Yes.
Unclear.
Well, see, you want to know why that is because today... What are we talking about?
Today we are talking about Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga, right, because for Pride Month, knowing you, Sadie, I know that there are few things that you love more than a bi icon.
That is very true.
That is very true.
I'm all about bisexual visibility.
And Lady Gaga, very visual bisexual person, and it is Pride Month, and Lady Gaga is also a gay icon, as you could say. So who better for us to do a homework episode on to finish our Pride Month? I guess we have one more episode left of Pride Month on Monday, but who better for us to do an episode on, right?
Right. I mean, there's a lot of female singers who are gay icons.
Yeah. So the Leaving Eden podcast is a podcast about Sadie Carpenter's life in and escape from the independent fundamental Baptist cult. We seek to educate and to inform our listeners about the dangers of this cult, other cults, and the real and present threat that they pose to society as a whole. And we promote freedom of mind, freedom of thought, and freedom of religion. And every so often, we decide that it's good for somebody who was raised in a cult and was not exposed to popular culture to review said iconic pieces of popular culture. So that's what we're doing today. And for Pride Month, we're doing Lady Gaga, because who better to do? But Sadie, how do you want to start us off? What are your overall thoughts?
Okay, so my overall thoughts, one of the first things I realized is how early these albums came out. I think The Fame was in 2008, The Fame Monster in 2009, and then Born This Way in 2011.
Yes, I think that's right.
My perception of pop culture like recent pop culture is always a little bit behind. So I would have thought they maybe came out in like 2011, 2013, 2015.
Right. Because that's how long it takes for the IFB to get a hold
for
of something.
For it to filter into the IFB.
Yeah. So for me, because I grew up sort of normal, Lady Gaga was, you know, I think I first heard her music in, I think, so the Fame came out in 2008, right?
Right.
I want to say that the song Just Dance was out before that in 2007, because I remember hearing it at a dance party that I was at.
That sounds right.
That sounds plausible. So I remember hearing that song and I'm like, what's this song? This is a new song. I haven't heard this song before. And they're like, oh, this is the new artist. This is Lady Gaga. And I'm like, what's Lady Gaga? She really sort of blew up over that next year.
Okay. And when you first heard about Lady Gaga, it wasn't in the sense of like, Gaga, what a weird name. She's probably demonic.
No, I'll tell you what it was.
I know that sounds like a stupid question.
Right. We'll talk about all
this. But I'm legitimately asking, like, what was the perception, your perception when you heard of her? It wasn't like, oh, that's weird or that's crazy or that's probably from Satan.
No. So okay. I'll tell you what I thought of it. Because when, you know, when she first came out, so you have to understand my musical background, at least the music that I was listening to, a lot of it was like classic rock. A lot of it was glam rock, but I did like a lot of pop music. So I was listening to Led Zeppelin. I was listening to Queen. I was also listening to, it was in like 2006, 2007. I also would have been listening to like Justin Timberlake, Future Sex Love Sounds. That was a record that I really liked. I also would have been listening to a lot of like R&B, hip hop. So like some T-Pain, Kanye, stuff like that. This song came out, like, this just sounded like, I don't want to say it was like another pop song. It was like, oh, this is like a pop song by like a synth pop artist, kind of like a synth pop dance pop kind of artist. It's pretty good. Who is it? It's Lady Gaga. Okay, that's an artist name. Is Lady Gaga a weirder artist name than T-Pain? I don't know. Not really.
So yeah, so it didn't like strike you as like as unusual, because my perception of Lady Gaga from the time I first heard about her was that she's something unusual. She's something very set apart from mainstream pop music because she's like weirder and stranger and darker and, you know, more full of demons.
Well, I wouldn't say more full of demons, but I think that she definitely did when she first burst onto the scene. Like, I mean, I heard the song, I didn't know anything about her. And then, you know, I started to hear more and more and more about her. I think the song, I want to say Love Game, when that one really started to get popular. Because what's that one? That one's Let's Have Some Fun. This Beat Is Sick. I Want to Take a Ride on Your Disco Stick. That was a big hit. That was a bit raunchy and that was kind of everywhere. And that's when people started looking at her being like, oh, she's a bit out there. She's a bit, you know, she's a bit wild.
And she's,
people really like that. She's flamboyant.
And she's different from other, so I think a lot of female solo pop artists are gay icon material.
Right. And this is something that we really want to talk about, like straight out of the bat, is what makes somebody a gay icon?
So there's like a recipe for a gay icon, and Lady Gaga doesn't fit that recipe in a lot of ways. And I thought that was really interesting.
So let's break down what that recipe might be, because like who else are gay icons? I mean, if we go way back and way back and way back, we could talk about like Judy Garland, gay icon.
Judy Garland,
probably
who I love so much.
Absolutely fabulous actress, singer. You know, Marilyn Monroe, gay icon. Cher is probably the biggest one that like, you know, if you're thinking of gay icons, she's got to be like, you know, front page, front and center.
And then
Cher,
a little more recent, like Britney Spears, Madonna.
Britney Spears, absolutely. Beyonce.
Demi Lovato.
Yeah. A lot of these artists, a lot of, you know, really talented female pop stars get to be
non-binary.
Gay icons.
Demi Lovato is non-binary.
Oh, that's right. Forgot about that. Celine Dion, her as well.
Yeah. A little bit further back.
Yeah, a little bit further back.
I feel
back.
Like I'm missing. Oh, Ariana Grande. Ariana, who I was thinking of that I was missing.
That's true. I did go to I went to an Ariana Grande concert 2 years ago. Man, I'm like, and I'm in the Beehive Facebook group. Man, people
this is literally
like,
the joke I've been making all month.
It is like, no, it is funny that we.
it's amusing.
Yeah, it is. No, but like I was in high school, I was a huge fan of Lady Gaga.
I mean, yeah, it's like you have like all of the stereotypically gay man things, except for the fact that you're straight. And
sadly,
I know that I've like poked a lot of fun at you about this over Pride Month.
It's true. It's I mean, it is a running joke.
But
you know who I am? I'm Schmidt from New Girl.
But you know what? I think that's really sweet because I think that I think that more straight men ought to be able to enjoy things without worrying about like, oh, well, that's a queer coded thing. And I think that speaks to your confidence, which none of us doubted. but I think that's a really nice thing. And I think that I hope that more straight men will feel like they can just enjoy what they enjoy. And if that's Beyonce, whatever. And
let me be a trailblazer for all straight men. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, fine. I'll just let you have that.
Yeah.
No, I read something on Facebook today about J.R.R. Tolkien. The Lord of the Rings books were being translated into German, and the German government. So back in like the 30s or 40s, and the German government wrote him to say, "Hey, are you Aryan? Because we noticed that your books are being translated into German, and we want to know like what your background is." And he wrote back and he said, well, this is my like ethnic makeup. I'm mostly English and I have these other ethnic groups in my bloodline. But I know that's not what you're actually asking me. What you're asking me is, am I Jewish? Unfortunately, I'm not. I would love to share an ancestry with these talented and gifted people, but no. So he just basically just told them to, you know, f*** off in a really nicely worded letter.
Yeah.
But that his response to being asked that reminds me of your response to like liking a lot of stereotypically gay things.
Really? Oh, wow. I'm compared to JR, another one of my heroes.
Yeah, I read that and I was like, "Oh, that's how Gavi treats the fashion and Beyonce jokes on the show."
Yeah.
But back to the gay icons. So I found some theories about why gay men tend to relate to female solo artists.
Yeah, let's get into this. Let's make this recipe.
So one big theory is that the struggle of being a feminine person in the man's world of the music business, like you have to balance being like a sex goddess, like ultimate sexy person and ultimately feminine person. But you also need to be very business savvy and very calculating in the way you speak. And that's a balance that is not typically found in stereotypes of women. And so the theory is that gay men can relate to their own struggles of gender presentation and feeling like they need to play multiple roles in society and feeling like they need to like code switch to fit in. And that's what a lot of gay men relate to. With female and feminine pop singers.
That's really interesting. I was going to say, because, you know,
interesting theory.
If you look at like drag shows, you know, if you look at like, okay, who's performing what song at a drag show, you know, a lot of it's going to be like a Lady Gaga song or Beyonce song, you know, that's.
Or Whitney Houston. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah.
I mean, but I think that part of it also has to do is with the way that these artists present themselves. So the more like, I want to say like iconic, the more dramatic.
There's like a drama in the way that people's fashion is and the way that their hair is and
theatrical, you know, very large, very, you know, larger than life in that.
Right. With a defiant aesthetic and a very particular way of presenting themselves. And that's something that gay men are maybe attracted to, like that sense of camp or a sense of a defined sense of style or a sense of artisticness in style. I've also read that female pop stars embody femininity and sex appeal, and gay men want something to like pattern their own feminine side on, and they adopt pop stars as like, this person gets my aesthetic, like this person gets the expression of the feminine parts of myself.
Huh. That makes sense as well.
And that's I think that's kind of two sides of the same coin.
So how does Lady Gaga fit into that?
So Lady Gaga definitely fits into the whole like woman in a man's world bit because she does have all the pressures on her to look a certain way and be more feminine than she is in a lot of situations, and still wanting to be in control of her music and control of her image. And she also does have just an amazing sense of fashion. I enjoyed so much researching for this homework because I just got to look at a bunch of pictures of her outfits.
And oh yeah, it's like Star Wars, you know? Like, I mean, it's like stuff that you would see somebody wearing. It's like outer space kind of stuff.
And all just of the ones that are so like, cool. It's like, so there are dresses that are like extremely sculptured. I don't even know if a dress, you call it a dress, but is it really? But it looks like a Kentucky Derby hat, but it's a dress.
It's like a wearable sculpture is essentially what it is.
All of those are my absolute favorite. Like, I love everything. She's pretty much everything she's ever worn. It's my favorite thing ever. But there are dresses that are just extremely sculptural, and I just think that is so cool. And then some people are considered gay icons because they fought really hard for LGBT representation and acceptance. Cher would fall into that category, and some people would say that Taylor Swift does, and other people would say that Taylor Swift failed at that, so I'm not going to get super deep into that. But Princess
Don't piss
Diana.
Off the Swifties. That's like... The only people worse to piss off than the Swifties is the Beehive.
The only people worse to piss off than the Swifties are the followers of a certain ex-fundy YouTuber who's going after a certain other ex-fundy podcaster at the moment.
Oh, man, I would rather piss off the Swifties than those people. I don't care about those people.
Yeah, no, he's getting threats. He, like, had to go to the FBI. It's very scary.
I didn't know that.
That was just posted before we got on mic.
Send me a link to that shit. Okay, well, you know
you
what?
You can cut it out. You can cut that out of the cut
if
you want.
If you're being threatened with violence over things that people think about you on the internet, I would like to extend to you the label of honorary Jew. Because that is my life every day.
and
it sucks, and I feel for you, buddy.
I regardless of whether I agree with every single word that comes out of someone's mouth or every single decision that they make every single time, nobody deserves that, and the person that I'm referencing, if you know who it is, you know, is just trying to do their best. And I don't appreciate this level of attack. It's not cool.
We don't do slander here.
No, like, I can disagree with people and I can get passionate about that. And I can disagree with somebody to the point of saying things that would upset some people. And I think that's fine. That's all part of discourse. But threats and trying to ruin somebody's career, that is way beyond what I think is ever okay. Anyway, that does disturb me. Anyway, I was trying to talk about Princess Diana.
Princess Diana, another gay icon, because of what she did, you know, for AIDS visibility, HIV, you know, showing compassion to these people. No one wanted to touch them.
Yeah, and there's,
you know,
like,
she was going and hugging them.
So the controversy is about, like, whether straight people can be gay icons. And that's kind of what's come up around Taylor Swift. A lot of people have kind of adopted her as, like, their gay icon pop star. But people feel like she hasn't maybe done enough to deserve that label. Because thinking of Princess Diana, like you just said, she did a lot of really, really important work around HIV, AIDS, and made a real difference. So she's qualified to be a gay icon, even though she's straight. So kind of where I come down on this is, I don't think you should have to be gay to be considered a gay icon, but I do think you should have to do something important for the LGBT community. Just like liking a female pop star is not enough to qualify a gay man as not misogynist. I've seen a lot of gay men kind of have this attitude of, like, ew, women. Ugh. That is really not my cup of tea. However, I've seen that really diminished in the last few years, and I think that's kind of passing over and people are realizing that that's not okay. I'm really relieved to see a lot less of that. And I think if standing a female pop star is part of getting rid of that mindset that used to be a lot more prevalent in the gay community, I think that's great. That's great. But Lady Gaga, and the reason we wanted to talk about her specifically for this episode, is that she is an LGBT person herself.
That's true. So her, I want to talk about that because her song Poker Face, right? Do you know about her song Poker Face?
Yes, I do.
So the song Poker Face was a song that she wrote about being bisexual. And that song was everywhere. And a lot of people didn't know what it was about. And then it, when it came out that that's what it was about, I think that there was a lot of people that kind of got mad about it or were upset about it in a certain way. And this was, I think, hot on the, do you remember that Katy Perry song, I Kissed a Girl and I Liked It?
Yeah, I definitely do.
Which was, which many people saw as somewhat problematic.
There are definitely problematic aspects to that song, and I wouldn't want to minimize that, but also I really like that song.
Yeah, we're not going to get into that song today, but like that song was very controversial, and then Lady Gaga came out with this, which I think is maybe a bit more, I don't want to say artful, because it's not my business to like judge people based on like the artfulness of the way that they express their sexuality, but like she's much more coded about it, and she made it. This song was a huge hit. Poker Face was a huge hit.
I think Poker Face, just personally as a bisexual person myself, I think Poker Face says a little bit more about the actual experience of being in those shoes
rather than just being like, I kissed a girl. Ooh, look at me, I'm so bad. Yeah.
See, I personally, I don't see anything. I know there are problematic, like, consent-focused aspects and, like, objectification aspects of I Kissed a Girl. I don't see anything wrong with the idea of, like, you know, a lot of bisexual people, a lot of lesbian people, kind of their first time was as a joke or as a dare, or, like, in this kind of joking way that's portrayed in I Kissed a Girl. And I think it's accurate to a lot of people's stories. That doesn't mean the song is completely unproblematic, but the playful and jokey nature of that song, I think, is not completely inappropriate when you consider that a lot of people's experience, like opening up to that part of their sexuality for the first time, does reflect that song. However, I think Poker Face has a lot more to say about like the experience of being a holistic experience of being a bisexual person, not like a half joke about one tiny part of that bisexual person's life.
Yeah. So here's a question. So lyrically speaking, what are we talking about here? Are there any lines in particular that stand out to you for this song? So we've got this song.
It's in the chorus for me. Can't read my, no, he can't read my poker face. She's got me like nobody. Like, I feel like that's not the kind of thing that you would immediately go, oh yeah, that's what she's talking about. But when to somebody who's lived that experience, it's like, oh, yeah, I know exactly what she's talking about.
What, where you're just like, OK, this is my guy. But like, I see this woman, and I'm just like,
And like, whether you've been in that particular situation or not, you can relate to the feeling of what that would be like if you were not out to a partner.
Huh. That's
and like, that's, I think a lot of bisexual people can identify, like, whether or not they have ever been in that position where there was a partner that they were not out to. A lot of bisexual, like all of us have somebody that we're not, that we're somebody in our life that we're not out to until I started doing this podcast and now whatever. But I think a lot of bi and pan people have somebody in our life that we're not out to. And whether it's a partner or somebody else. And I think those lyrics seem just so, they don't seem like that to somebody who hasn't lived that experience. I don't know how to put it into words, but to somebody who does have that experience, it's very clear.
I mean, that's the sort of thing it's very coded. Like, and that's what like a lot of gay media is. A lot of gay media is intentionally coded so that the straights don't know.
I don't think it's so the straights don't know. I think it's so the gays do know. To me, it doesn't come across as I'm trying to keep something away from you. To me, it comes across as like, I'm trying to make something for me. So the straights not knowing what it's about is a funny side effect, but it's not the purpose of the coding. The coded language, the purpose of it is to have a fun like inside joke or a fun reference point for the intended audience, which is the LGBT listeners. If the straight people don't get it, it's not because, you know, the artist was trying to obscure it from you. It's because you just don't get it. Like, it's a side effect.
Huh. Okay,
but that's
yeah,
just, I, that's I just like that's just yeah. my wackadoo theory.
You no, you know what? I think you're probably right about that. I guess you would know better than I would, but
yeah, it's like a lot of queer culture. It's not about it. It originated from the idea of we've got to hide this from the straight people.
Right. That's what I was thinking about. That it's a lot of it's about keeping it secret because you're being persecuted. Yeah.
I don't think that's what it is anymore. So okay, so 70 years ago, for thing 1951. If somebody asked you if you're a friend of Dorothy, do you know what that is?
I know what that is now.
Now. So if somebody asked you that, it would be because for any listeners who don't know, a friend of Dorothy is an old phrase. It originated in the gay scene in London, and it was a way that gay men would identify each other. It was like a password. You'd say, are you a friend of Dorothy? And if that person said, yes, I know Dorothy, then you know you're talking to another gay or bisexual man.
What if you just know somebody named Dorothy?
See, that's the drawback of, you know, coded phrases.
One time I was in a bar and somebody asked, like, now that I'm thinking about it, somebody asked me if I was a friend of Dorothy. And I'm like, no, who's Dorothy? And they're like,
so now,
sadly,
though,
oh, man. But now I'm thinking about it. That happened to me. Man, that guy was trying to hit on me. He was handsome, too. Man, that makes me feel really good about myself.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. But okay, so it's like 70 years ago in the 1950s, if a guy had asked you that, it would have been about obscuring his identity from you, because he does not know if you as a straight guy are a safe person.
Hmm.
Now, though, a guy who asked you that in a bar like in the last 5 years sometime wasn't trying to obscure anything from you as a straight man, because it's, you know, in Portland, it's not terribly likely that you are an unsafe person. Now it's about including other LGBT people, not excluding straight people.
Well, hey, that's interesting. So, but that's poker face, though.
So that's poker face. So we got off on a little bit of a rant there.
No, but that's very interesting. This is stuff that we got to talk about. That so
I stayed up late reading theory.
Yeah. So Gaga is actually, because how many of these gay icon pop stars that we're talking about are, how many of them are actually like LGBT?
You know, I'm not a lot of them. Sure, and I feel like with some people you don't know.
Sure. Because, and it's not anybody else's business, is it?
Right. Well, because, you know, some people are bi and end up in a relationship with somebody, like a long-term monogamous relationship with someone of the opposite gender. And being bi isn't something that they feel like they want to come out about. And that's okay. That's fine. Some people are bisexual and they end up in a long-term monogamous relationship with somebody of the opposite or somebody of the same gender. And people just like say, oh, well, they're just lesbian or they're just gay. And really, they're like Freddie Mercury, who constantly gets coded as a gay man, even though he wasn't. He was bisexual.
Love Freddie Mercury.
Yeah. And people are like, oh, yeah, Freddie Mercury, greatest gay singer ever. No, he wasn't.
You don't have to qualify that with greatest gay singer ever. You could just say greatest singer ever.
Yeah, but we bisexuals want to claim him because he's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely understand why you would want to claim him. If I could claim him, then I would absolutely do that any day of the week. But speaking of Freddie Mercury, that brings me to something. So you were talking about earlier Lady Gaga's name. Do you know where she got the name?
So Lady Gaga? Is it from the Queen song Radio Gaga?
It is from the Queen song Radio Gaga. So,
and I know you're a big Queen fan.
I am a huge Queen fan. So the story goes that she was trying to think of a stage name, and she was a huge fan of Queen. And, you know, she, I guess, and her manager were texting back and forth. Her manager was going to text her Radio Gaga because, you know, he knew that she loved that song, that Queen song, Radio Gaga. And the phone auto corrected it to Lady Gaga. And it sent it to her, and she's like, yes, that's it. That's the name. Huh. That's what I am. I'm Lady Gaga.
I didn't see that part of the story. I just saw the part where it was inspired by that song.
Yes, that's the story. So that, well, you know,
autocorrect saving lives.
But yeah, so that's kind of part of the reason why, I don't want to say part of the reason that, like, the name was part of the reason why her music appealed to me, but I was really into, like, a lot of the, you know, Queen was a kind of music that I really liked. You know, the whole glam rock thing was, I was really into it. And Lady Gaga, I mean, she was pop, you know, she was synth pop, but she definitely like embodied a lot of that same sort of ethos that a band like Queen would have. So, you know, her songs were really catchy. Her songs were really good. Yeah, and, you know, I was a huge fan of Elton John as well. So there's a lot of that influence.
I hear Elton John's really good live.
Oh, he is. I've saw him.
I haven't, but I've heard. So I think that I can see why you would say that Lady Gaga has a little bit in common with Queen, because there's an artistic value to her videos and her fashion and her crazy hair. That is, it's calculated. Mm-hmm. Like it's not, oh, I just dress like this. It's, this is art and I'm wearing it.
Right. And also I think, so 2008, 2009, there was a lot of hype coming out about Michael Jackson, because Michael Jackson was going to go on this big tour. It was going to be the This Is It tour. And then Michael Jackson died suddenly in 2009. And that was around the time
was
when...
Was that early?
Yes. Michael Jackson died. Yeah, 2009. It was June.
Because I watched the funeral. How did I watch his funeral when I was still in the IFB?
I don't know. It was June of 2009 that Michael Jackson died.
Hey, friends. Trauma can make you not know when things happened.
Yeah.
Just like that's free. Free therapizing. Therapizing? Yeah. It's free therapy. If you have a lot of trouble putting things in order of when they happened, that can be a symptom of trauma.
But Gaga was coming out with a lot of these more extended music videos, these longer music videos, which was a thing that Michael Jackson had done back in the 1980s. And her music is very, a lot of it is very 80s reminiscent, right?
Yeah. I was hearing
this
a lot
that aesthetic.
Yeah, I was hearing a lot of like Kraftwerk, a lot of like super early Gary Numan influence in the music itself.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to go back to circle back to the fashion real quick.
Yes, let's go into the fashion.
Because one of the I think I knew about Gaga fashion before I knew anything about her music at all. And I was hearing like the first things that were filtering into the IFB about her were about her fashion and how this was a sign of her being demonic or something. Specifically, the meat dress is something that I feel like I recall hearing about from behind the pulpit. And I would love to hear from any other former IFB listeners. Let me know if you were hearing about more about her clothing than really anything else about her.
See, I think that's an interesting thing to talk about, because so Gaga, if you don't know a single song about a single song by Lady Gaga, you know that at the 2010 MTV VMA Awards, Lady Gaga wore a meat dress. You know that is like common knowledge. It's like, even if you can't name a single song by Kanye West, you know that he interrupted Taylor Swift at the 2009 VMAs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Or if you can't name a single, I'm trying to think of another example of this. Like a lot of these people get well known for doing something, and then people will say, "Oh, well, her that's just a gimmick to get people to listen to her music because her music's not
very good." I did not know a single song by Madonna or Britney Spears, but I knew that they kissed at some award show. Like I heard about that long before I knew anything about either one of them as an artist.
I don't know about that.
Madonna kissed Britney Spears at like in like 2000 at some like MTV Awards or something.
Well, that would make sense because Madonna was like one of Britney's biggest influences.
Right. It was like it was supposed to be like a symbolic like passing the torch thing. But from like being the pop star of a generation to the next person.
The IFB is like, oh, they're
gay.
And
then I feel like Britney kissed somebody, and it may have been Miley Cyrus, but I can't remember. Somebody's going to correct me on that one. That's okay.
That is interesting.
Tweet at me. My Twitter's been like sad and angry lately. Tweet at me about
Twitter's been
pop stars kissing. It'll be funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, Twitter sucked lately. Somebody just tweet at me like happy things.
Dude, you don't want to know the names that I've been called over the past few months on Twitter.
I don't know what you want to be tweeted at about. Like, I don't know what's going to make you happy. If people want to make me happy, tweet at me about your Bachelor fan theories. No spoilers. If you read Reality Steve, stay the F away from me. But if you're just guessing like me and you think that kitty cat Connor is totally going to win. Tweet at me because my Twitter's been sad and angry. And like Bachelor fan theories will make me smile. Do you want to request anything particular on Twitter?
No.
Okay. Just say something nice.
Yeah.
Don't call you any names.
No anti-Semitic slurs.
Just don't do that.
Yeah.
And that should
especially
probably...
not ones coined by David Duke.
Yeah. Oh God. Ugh. Don't swear on our podcast.
Yeah. anyway, back to Gaga meat dress. So meat what did dress. The IFB say about the meat dress?
I remember, I can't remember specifics, but I remember it being like super shocking. And then somehow this was supposed to be satanic or something.
Well, it was shocking when she did it. People like freaked out.
A younger person, I looked at pictures of this and I was like, meat dress, pretty cool. And then when I was researching for this homework, I looked it up again and it made me kind of feel sick. And I'm like, oh, look, hey, I'm getting older, I guess. Because like this is a little more, this impacts me a little bit more now. I have a theory maybe about why. So it wasn't just the meat dress that I was hearing about, and it wasn't just her quote unquote immodest fashion choices either. There was, so of course I was hearing about how those things were bad, but I was hearing more than that about her fashion. I was seeing her get a lot of hatred just for the outlandish nature of her clothing choices. And that, yeah, I think is really interesting because I think it lifts the curtain a little bit to show what the actual problem is with singers like her, the actual problem that the IFB and other super conservative groups would have with her. Like, they are offended by the showing, like, showing so much skin or a, like, seductive nature of some of her clothing.
Yeah, but that's just par for the course with any, like,
right, that's literally every famous female person and non-binary feminine person ever that they hate. I think that it lifts the curtain to another major issue that the IFB has with women, and that is the perception of... And I'm using women to say, you know, women and all feminine people. But it's a perception of women as women should not be in the spotlight. They shouldn't draw attention to themselves. And Lady Gaga dressed in a way, it didn't just draw attention because a lot of her skin was showing. It demanded attention because of the nature of the outfit itself, regardless of whether she was completely covered from head to toe or regardless of whether she was in some kind of like bikini type outfit. I think the IFB has a fear of being made or forced to pay attention to anything outside their world. And I think that's kind of where the fear of Pride Month or the fear of a Pride Parade or the fear of rainbows and Target comes from. Because they fear being forced to pay attention to anything because they feel like this is equivalent to someone putting their head in a headlock and holding their eyelids open and making them watch. They don't understand the concept of just scroll by. And even worse, this is a woman demanding attention. And I think that maybe is what's so offensive to the IFB is like they feel that this is literally equivalent of being physically made to do something.
So if I could take that one step further,
please.
Over the course of this month, we have heard stories from many people who did not know that or who did not know that trans existed, and then they found out what it was, and then they're like, oh, well, that's why I'm unhappy, is because that's what I am. And your story yourself, where you're like, I didn't know that bisexual existed. And then I realized, oh, then I found out what it was. And I realized, oh, that's me. That's kind of the same sort of thing where it's not just if you're forced to pay attention to something. It's that also other people, like if you have to talk about it, if you have to pay attention to it, then that means that other people are seeing it and other people are identifying with it.
Yeah. And that kind of goes against the principle of information control.
Yes.
Because you've lost control over, and it goes right back to self-brainwashing, which is like the one original piece of cult research that I've ever come up with that's actually really, really good, I think. The idea that that cults reach a critical mass where the leader can no longer control each person individually, and you've got to be trained to brainwash yourself, and you've got to be trained to information control yourself. So if you are being caused to pay attention to something outside the world of the cult, you are losing your own control over your own information. And I think that's what's scary about artists like Lady Gaga and, you know, rainbows and Target.
I think that that's a very interesting point. And I think that that's, there's a lot of people who maybe we've had, I don't want to say less than positive interactions with on social media over the course of this month, who have expressed, in my view, really uncalled for just anger at the fact that Pride Month exists. And all these people, you know, are ex-fundies. They're not members anymore, right? They're not, maybe they just haven't deprogrammed themselves and they still see this and they're just like, no, I'm not there. I'm not there yet. Don't show it to me.
Well, as much as those interactions have been frustrating to me and sometimes caused me to feel angry, I wanted to understand, like, why is this hurting this person's feelings so much? Like, why is this so much of a deal to this person to just, like, see some rainbows? Why? And I really think that this might be kind of part of the puzzle. It's not that it makes it good for a person to react like that, like with just extreme reactions to seeing a rainbow. But I want to understand why this person is so upset by that, because I don't want to just lay into somebody without understanding why they're upset.
Right.
Even if I don't think they're upset for a particularly valid reason, I still want to know what their reason is. I still have empathy. And I want to know. And I think that this is just my theory, but I think it's part of the puzzle.
Yeah.
The IFB treats all male pop stars and actors as like effeminate, promiscuous, and liberal. And then all female pop stars and actresses and actors are like promiscuous, talentless, just there for the shock value, brash, like feminist. You know, they use that as an insult.
And they show their skin, and that's why people are paying attention to them, not because they're actually contributing anything of value. They're basically glorified strippers. Is what the, yeah.
Right. And I kind of heard that about Lady Gaga too. It's like, she's wearing a meat dress and that's the only reason anybody pays attention to her. It's not because, you know, her songs make millions of people feel good. There's just a special vitriol in the IFB for female solo recording artists. And they kind of hate all celebrities a lot, but female solo recording artists just get the worst of it. So I had heard kind of just a lot of crap about Lady Gaga, and I had heard some of her songs, but I'd really never sat down and listened to a whole album all the way through for sure. And you know what? I kind of enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So do you want to take a turn into going through some of the songs?
Yeah. So we've talked about a few of the songs on her first record, the Fame. I see you've here, we have a doc open. You've written down what you thought of some of them. I'm not going to go through all of them, but the big three I think that we were supposed to talk about, that I would want to talk about, were Just Dance, which, you know, I think that that was like her first big hit, I think. Love Game, Paparazzi, and Poker Face three on that album that I think are the most important for us to talk about.
Do you want to take up the offering and come back and talk about those?
Yeah, let's go do that. So let's take a break and then we'll come back and we'll actually get into the music here.
Hey, Gavriel here. If you enjoy the Leaving Eden podcast, head over to our Facebook group, Eden Exodus, where you can talk to other fans, ask us questions, and share memes. That's facebook.com/EdenExodus. You can join our Patreon at patreon.com/LeavingEdenPodcast, and you'll get access to extended and uncensored episodes. You can also support our show by recommending it to your family and your friends. The Leaving Eden podcast is a fully independent podcast, and we really appreciate your support. And now, back to the show.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, we are back. We are talking about Lady Gaga. In the first half of this episode, we talked about a lot of Lady Gaga's cultural significance, both to the LGBTQ community and why the IFB hated her oh so much. They really did hate her. But now we're actually going to talk about the music, and we're just going to go through, her first record, is called The Fame. There's three songs on here that I think is really important that we talk about, which are Love Game, Paparazzi, and Poker Face. So we mentioned Paparazzi before. Let's go into Love Game. You have here written meh. You didn't care for this one.
Lady Gaga's music style is just not one of my top favorite styles.
That's fine.
And I mean, I feel about Lady Gaga a lot like you feel about musical theater. It's not that I hate, despise, and abominate the entire genre. It's not that I think she's awful. It's just that a lot of her music isn't exactly what appeals to me. But there are pieces of her music that I think are great. And I think that there's something more to her than her music, and I am very much a fan of that, even though a lot of her catalog is just like, that's okay, it's a good song, whatever. Yeah. I think like there's something overarching that I really do appreciate, even when like some of the songs aren't just not, you know, whatever, they're kind of meh.
Yeah. No, that's fair. But Love Game. So Love Game was one of those ones that you thought was kind of meh.
And you said that Love Game was maybe one of the first ones that you heard?
Love Game was one of the first big ones that was a hit. Love Game was, I'll tell you, Love Game, because what's the chorus of the song is, let's have some fun, this beat is sick. I want to take a ride on your disco stick. Let's have some fun, right. This beat is sick. I want to take a ride on your disco stick. Like, that came out, and... You know, I mean, that's raunchy, right? That's pretty raunchy.
Yeah.
That's pretty raunchy. So that song comes out. People are singing that. That song's on the radio. And, you know, I mean, I didn't grow up. My parents weren't pearl clutchers, you know, but there were people that I knew, obviously, who were maybe a bit more easily offended than I was. And they would hear that song and they would be like, this song is so vulgar. But this song was, you know, it was maybe a little bit subversive when at the time that it came out. Now, I mean, we have Megan Thee Stallion and Cardi B singing WAP, and that song's on the radio, and everyone's just like, this is tame by comparison to that. But
right. But so, okay. So here's my question. If they had played Love Game at like a school dance, would they have bleeped out Disco Stick?
Maybe. I don't know. Okay. I'm trying to think what else they, because if they played a TikTok by Kesha at a school dance, they would bleep out the word junk when she's like, boys try to touch my junk, but they'd bleep that out.
Oh, so I would have thought they would have bleeped out bottle of Jack. Are they allowed to just talk about alcohol in school?
Oh, yeah. I mean, but we'd all been drinking anyway if we were at a school dance. You know, that's,
I don't get this. I know we did a whole episode where you tried to explain this to me, and I still just can't get it through my head. I can't.
Yeah, you drink MD 2020 with your friends beforehand.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and never mind. I didn't miss anything. I hate that stuff.
Yeah, but like Love Game, Because there was all of like this stuff where, you know, I think there was one interview, right, where Lady Gaga, they were asking, like, somebody asked her, Lady Gaga, what do you look for in a man? And then she, like, very facetiously said, a really big dick. And, like, that's it. And, like, that was her answer. And that was, like, a huge viral, like, thing that people were like, oh, wow. Like, but like she said that, like that's so edgy thing to say. And so, you know, songs where she would have some songs that were very sexual in nature, very raunchy in that way. People were, and you know, I that was like a thing that people would talk about.
So I don't really remember hearing about her lyrics this early in the game. I would hear about some of her lyrics later, and I'm going to get to that in like towards the end of our review here. But I wasn't hearing about her lyrics being explicitly sexual. I was hearing more about, like, she said, Roma Ma, is that a satanic spell?
Huh. we'll get to that one later.
But we'll get to that.
So we talked about Poker Face a little bit. Is there anything else you want to say about that one?
Yeah. So I listened to the Fame. I went straight through. Fame and Fame Monster, I went just straight through, just like, yeah, the U.S. non-deluxe track list, just start to finish, just listen to the album without stopping it, just like wrote notes as I went.
And that's what I would have been listening to in like 2009, 2010.
Yeah, and then Born This Way, I listened to all the songs, but I skipped around. Just I thought it would be neat to have two different experiences for this homework.
Yeah.
Because by the time I got to Born This Way, I was like super psyched about this episode.
Yeah.
So Poker Face was like the fourth. So Just Dance, Love Game, Paparazzi, Poker Face.
Poker Face.
Poker Face was the fourth song that I listened to on my way, just listening straight through the Fame. And that was when it just dawned on me the breadth and depth of Gaga's work and like what a phenomenon she was, or she is, but was at the time as a performer.
Yes.
I did not know that her first album had so many really popular singles. I did not realize how early she came on the scene and how long her career has been. I did not realize how popular her first studio album became for a first studio album.
Yeah.
I did not realize just the absolute like firework she was, just breaking mainstream.
Oh yeah. I mean, she hit and she like hit, you know.
That was a piece that I was really missing. Like I knew that she was extremely popular, but I did not see, I thought she had more like of a gradual rise to fame. I did not know how abrupt and brilliant her rise to fame was. I did not know how many of her very early songs are now classics, like 13 years later. Like I still hear, like I hear Just Dance in like TV shows and commercials, and I'm like, oh yeah, I know that song. I think that when I got to Poker Face, just listening straight through the album, I was like, oh, this was really, really big. This was bigger than I realized it was.
Yes.
So that was just like, I just kind of had this realization at that point. And then my whole way of thinking about this episode changed.
Yeah. So these first four songs on the record, Just Dance, Love Game, Paparazzi, Poker Face, they were everywhere. They hit and they hit. Like they stuck around. We haven't talked about Paparazzi. Any thoughts about this one?
Paparazzi is one of the few songs that I knew before, the few Lady Gaga songs that I knew really well before doing this episode and before doing the homework. And it gets stuck in my head all the time, but I only know like some of the lyrics. So it's one of those annoying songs that's stuck in my head that I only know a few of the lyrics for. So it's just the same part of the song playing on a loop.
You want to know what's something funny?
What?
The a cappella group I was in college, we sang a Lady Gaga medley, and Paparazzi was one of the songs on it.
You know, that in any of the videos that you've sent me from that?
No, but I will send you
because you've sent me like
that.
Full concert videos, and I've watched like some of them, but I haven't watched all of them because, you know, I have a kid who needs things.
Yeah.
And if that was in there, I would definitely go back and watch it.
Yeah. So any other songs from this album that you really liked?
No, nothing else like really stuck out to me. I enjoy the piano. Like, I know there's piano on several of the songs, and that I always enjoy. I know that Lady Gaga is an accomplished pianist, and that's just something I always love to see in a pop star.
Is Chuck doing okay?
Yeah, she just needs to go to sleep. I'm rocking her.
Okay.
She's just fighting it. Do you need me to turn off the lights and record in the dark?
Okay, we're going to try lights off recording. Gotta do the feeding the baby with one hand and talking with the other hand, but I think I'll be okay.
Yeah, so I think, yeah, so that's, I'm trying to think if there's anything else we want to say about this one, because in my opinion, The Fame is a good album, but I think The Fame Monster is a better record. The Fame definitely had some really good hits on it, but The Fame Monster was the one that, like, really, for me, I think that was it.
Okay, so what were some of your top favorites from The Fame Monster?
I mean, all, like, if you just go down the track, like, how...
All of them.
Let's see, I mean, Bad Romance, that was killer. Alejandro, that was killer. Monster, that was killer. Speechless, that was killer. Dance in the Dark was pretty good. Telephone featuring Beyonce, that was killer. So Happy I Could Die was all right, and Teeth was all right. But, like, most of these tracks were just, like, just fire.
I want to talk about Alejandro a little bit later, because that song supposedly contains a secret meaning.
Interesting. I don't know about this one.
So I found an article. I'll tell you about that one when we're done with, like, our album by album review here. Bad Romance was really fun to play on piano. This must have been an earlier song of hers that I heard, because I know at some point before I graduated high school, I had learned, like, the main bass riff, like the intro bass riff on piano.
What, and was enjoying
like just like
da 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 la la, want your bad romance. Yeah,
and I do love the lyrics of that song, I don't think I even knew the words. I had just heard the intro to that song enough in, I don't know, grocery stores and
that song was games and whatever. Everywhere.
Yeah, it really was, and I had picked up enough to be able to play the bass riff on piano. So when I was feeling like really angry at the IFB and not being allowed to do anything, I'd go play some evil demonic Lady Gaga to make myself feel better. But all I knew was like the first four bars of the song.
This was one of the ones that they thought was like actually demonic, though.
This was one of the ones I think I have heard that. So, I don't know what exactly is going on with this, because I feel like when I used to Google, like, proof that Lady Gaga is demonic, I used to get a bunch of, like, little independent websites that would go off on their wackadoo conspiracy theories. And I Google proof that Lady Gaga is demonic, and all I get is articles about how silly conservative, she's not demonic. Which, I don't know if those sites have just been shut down, or if people don't worry about demons anymore and they worry about other stuff.
Or people who were uploading to those sites, I don't know, they forgot how they're...
Light.
Yeah. Or they just forgot how the internet worked and they stopped updating their website or something. Or
yeah. Or, which, and it scares me a little bit more, maybe that all of those people have gone underground. Like, maybe they're all on 8chan. And, like, I don't have access. And I feel like that's scary because that creates an echo chamber. Maybe I've just spent too much time watching the Into the Storm documentary. I don't know.
Wait, what was Into the Storm?
Oh, it's a documentary about QAnon.
Oh,
it's on HBO.
Those people are fucking crazy.
So go watch it, because I know you have HBO.
Yeah.
For personal reasons.
Is there a not personal reason to have HBO?
No, I know for personal reasons. Personal reasons meaning that I use your account.
Oh, right.
I've never had a friend before who I shared a streaming login with. It makes me feel really special.
Well, that makes me feel special that I'm your first.
Yeah, you should. Yeah. I had people in the past who shared my logins,
but so they were the moochers.
Yeah, I've never been the moochie before, and it makes me feel cared for. I appreciate you.
Yeah.
Anyway, I feel like I remember Bad Romance being the one they thought that, like, the Ro-Mama bit was some kind of satanic spell or ancient language or something that meant terrible things. But due to issues which I have described before, I wasn't able to, like, find this conspiracy theory online. So I have like a hazy memory of hearing something about this, but I wasn't able to, like, pull any links or anything because I couldn't find it online.
So if you are IFB or you are ex-IFB, please send us, and you remember why.
Especially if you have, like, sermon links, that's the best.
Yeah, and you remember why Lady Gaga was satanic, then please send that to us. Because
Wait, why specifically Bad Romance, too?
Yeah. I mean, any song that somebody's saying some gibberish, some nonsense, and they're gonna get mad about.
Yeah, because they think everything's backmasking and demons.
Yeah.
But let's move on to, like, my other favorite song on here.
Which one's that?
Telephone, which is also has some conspiracy theories about it, which I will also address. But I have a soft spot for Telephone because possibly the best drag routine I ever saw in person was to the song.
Oh.
At Darcelle's. I used to know somebody who worked at Darcelle's, a show there, and Telephone was, like, one of the main songs in that show, and it was awesome.
It was that good.
It was, yeah, it was only tied with, I saw Isaiah Esquire, who was another super Portland famous drag performer, at, what's that creepy bar over in Southeast with all the clowns?
I don't know.
There's a little, like, comedy bar over in Southeast. I think it might be Funhouse.
Oh, yeah.
With the clown room. The green room is, like, all clowns in it. Anyway, I'm not going to just, like, get off talking about the drag shows I've seen, but like, Telephone. Happy memories. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Let's see. Other ones that we want to talk about. Speechless, that was one that I thought that you would like.
Because, well, give me, like, major musical theater vibes.
Yeah, so this one, for me, I liked this one because this was a very, like, Elton Johnny type song with the piano.
Yeah, and, like, her vocal stylings on this song are very kind of musical theater-ish, I thought.
That was one that I always really liked. I played that one on piano.
That's the thing about Lady Gaga. She's great. Her songs are great to play on piano because
that's how she writes them.
Because she's a pianist first and foremost, and extremely talented, and I think all of her songs are just kind of set up for piano, which is amazing.
Yeah,
because piano is just the love of my life as far as instruments go.
Yeah. So the last one that I think it's important for us to talk about on this album is Alejandro.
This was one of just my favorite. It was one of my favorites, just, like, song wise, just, like, composition and musicality wise.
It's a hot track.
It really is. This is maybe one of my favorites that I hadn't heard before that I heard doing homework.
Don't call my name.
It might actually be my favorite that I heard from this homework assignment.
Alejandro.
That I hadn't heard before.
Yeah.
I loved it. Do you want to hear the satanic conspiracy theory about Alejandro now, or do you want to wait?
I'd love to hear the satanic conspiracy theory.
So let me pull up this article. The theory is built around the three names that repeat in the hook of this song. So, like, don't call my name Alejandro, I'm not your babe Fernando, don't call my name Roberto.
Yes.
Okay. So Alejandro, Fernando, and Roberto are the three names in the song. So according to this internet article that I found, Alejandro means man's defender and protector. So Alejandro is meant to mean God. Fernando means ardent for peace, and that's supposed to mean Jesus. And then Roberto means bright or shiningly framed. So clearly Roberto is meant to be stand-in for the Holy Spirit. And then babe is the same as a child. So you substitute the word child in for babe, and what you get is, don't call my name God, I'm not your child Jesus, don't call my name Holy Spirit.
That is
da-da-da-da, satanic.
That is, like, a long walk for a short drink of water.
What's really funny is that is one of the shortest walks for that drink of water compared to some of the other things that the IFB does.
I don't. Yeah.
So So the image, there was images where she was inside an egg. Hatching from an egg signifies the cold-blooded rebirth with horns on her shoulders and her cheeks, which indicates that she is the transformed, all caps, bride of Satan.
That's kind of a lot.
The proof for Alejandro being satanic.
That is some sketchy proof.
That's what I got from the wide world of the internet.
I don't know if I totally buy it, but hey, I'm open to.
I mean, I totally buy it. Like, yeah. Clearly, that's clearly what she intended to write.
Okay, do you want to go into Born This Way then?
Let's do that.
Okay.
So I just want to say about Born This Way, I cannot hear the words Born This Way without thinking of that parody that's like, I'm on the right track, baby, I'm from Gallifrey, which was the Doctor Who Lady Gaga parody.
Oh, God.
Okay. And I literally cannot think of the words Born This Way without hearing the parody in my head.
Well, I can't hear the song Born This Way without thinking of the Weird Al song I Perform This Way.
See, I thought the Gallifrey parody was better. I love Weird Al. You know I love him. But
so I love Weird Al, but like the Born This Way one, because the whole thing with that was that he wanted to do the song. He always asked the artist permission, and he asked Lady Gaga's people. He asked Lady Gaga permission, and then the Lady Gaga's people were like, "We need to know what the song's going to say first, and what it's going to sound like." And so he basically had to record the song, and then they told him no, and then he complained about it on the internet, and Lady Gaga said, no one told me anything about this. You can release that. That's fine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
I mean, and I love the song Born This Way, like the actual song too.
It's a great song.
It's a really good song. It's probably my second favorite behind Alejandro. This was one obviously that I had heard before. But I enjoyed listening to it again.
But this song is, I think, perfect for Pride Month, because what is this song about? This song is about affirmations of especially the LGBTQ community.
Yeah, just like be who you are and accept the person that you're meant to be, and it's all good. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I enjoyed in general the more upbeat songs more than not upbeat songs. So Born This Way was really one of the ones that I enjoyed the most. Also on that album, I wanted to speak about the song Judas. The song, like the musical aspects of it, didn't really do it for me. But I am always a sucker for a modern retelling of Jesus, especially if Judas gets to wear a leather jacket.
Okay, well.
So I was down with the leather jacket part.
Did you watch the music? I take it you watched the music video. Yeah. You know what? The thing is that I remember when this song came out, I was like, I don't know how I feel about this song, but the music video is tight. And then
that's
I listened to this song again.
I was too.
And I'm like, okay, now this song is fire. Judah.
So like, that's my thing. I don't like the repeated words or repeated syllables thing.
Because that's the type of thing, especially if they're saying Judas, you think it's going to be like, oh, they're like, that's going to trigger you no matter what.
No, I don't think it's triggering. I just don't like it. Mm-hmm. Like, even when it's, and I don't think it has to do with like the vain repetition thing, because that's not what it's like. That's not what the BS vain repetition thing is referring to. It's referring to like repeated phrases.
Hmm.
So I just don't like it. I just don't like the like repeated syllable thing. Other artists that I really like have done that on some of their songs, and I didn't like it when they did it either.
It's just a technique that you don't care for.
It's just the repeated syllable thing. Just like, I mean, I don't even like it when people say like la, la, la or whatever in their songs, except for Hey Jude, because that's an exception, obviously. Right. But no, I just, in general, nonsense syllables, repeated syllables, or repeated words, or like that effect where it goes like a record scratch in the middle of a word. I just don't like those things in music, and I don't think there's anything wrong with them at all. I just it just bugs me personally, and it is what it is. Just not my thing.
Yeah.
But I do feel like obviously Lady Gaga's art far transcends her music, and there are so many things that I do like about her.
Yeah.
So and I like her as an artist that much that I will listen to songs that like have the repeated syllable thing that bothers me, just because I like so all of the other things about her so much.
So what other songs on this album did you really connect with?
Were there any in particular? No, I thought I would really like Bloody Mary just because, like, typically that's kind of my jam. It's like songs with a lot of religious imagery, and that one wasn't like my favorite thing either. I liked Heavy Metal Lover. That one was pretty good. Mary the Night was okay. It was good. I feel like I should have listened to this one straight in a straight line instead of like jumping from song to song, because I just didn't connect with the whole album as much as I did the first two. And I wonder if that was because I didn't listen to them all in order, because I feel like listening to the first two records in order really gave me a different perspective.
What about The Edge of Glory? Did you like that one?
Oh my God. Yes. I forgot to write that one down. Yes. I love Edge of Glory. That is like an amazing song.
Yeah.
That is, you know what? Weirdly, I didn't like the music video very much, but I love the song.
Edge of Glory is a killer track.
It totally is. I that one deserves to be a classic. So many of these, I hope, are still getting played many years from now, but that is one of the ones like, oh, that one deserves to be an instant classic.
The edge, the edge, the edge, the edge, the edge.
And the saxophone solo. And, you know, I know there are other Ghost fans who listen to my podcast because you've posted in our Facebook group before. But all Ghost fans know how cool a saxophone solo where you don't expect it can be.
But man, overall thoughts, what are we going to say about Lady Gaga here? I don't know what else you want to talk about.
Well, I want to talk about, is she satanic?
Do you think Lady Gaga is satanic? Here we go.
Do you think she's satanic? Because I think she's satanic. So I talked about the hidden meeting in Alejandro,
which seemed kind of
tenuous,
dubious.
I don't know. I watched a video that was titled Lady Gaga Performs a Satanic Ritual on Stage. And I watched it really carefully, and I watched it like three times, and I literally could not figure out what was satanic about it.
Yeah.
And I feel so confused and conflicted about this, because I'm sure 10 years ago, me would have found something to be upset by that was supposedly satanic.
Sure.
And like now me, I just couldn't figure out what it was. It was her. She was singing Bloody Mary. She had a very large red dress, like almost like a Victorian looking dress with a bustle and like a 10-foot long train. And then there's like a musical break in the middle of the song, and she does a quick change into a red bodysuit. She says into the mic, I'm sorry, Joanne, this bitch showed up in red. I don't know. And that's the part that was supposedly satanic, and I cannot figure out for the life of me why it's supposedly satanic. And I really tried.
It's true. Stephanie Germanotta is a secret Satanist. I don't know. I
just don't know. So like that really confused me and kind of gave me an identity crisis, because like, you know, years ago I would have been the person who knew exactly how to find the you know, a million satanic connections in that video. And now I just don't know.
She's wearing a red bodysuit. Clearly satanic imagery. Duh. Obviously. No, I'll tell you, when I was one of the first rock concerts I ever went to.
I'm wearing a red t-shirt right now. Am I satanic?
I guess you are. No, one of the first rock concerts I ever went to was Rolling Stones. Saw them play. And one of the things that happened was that they had Mick Jagger, when they did Sympathy for the Devil, Mick Jagger came out in like a devil costume. Yeah. And like that, like that's obvious. Like if you're going to do satanic stuff, like I feel like if Lady Gaga were going to do a satanic song, because she has a lot of religious imagery in her music, and she was like, I'm going to do a song all about Satan. And then she dresses up as Satan in the music video. Like she would just dress up as Satan in the music video. She wouldn't try to hide that shit.
I feel like, right? She'd just wear a red suit, like a red pinstripe suit with horns.
Yeah.
Because that seems more her style.
Yeah. Or like she would literally like... You saw that Lil Nas X thing, right? With the
right, like that was pretty like that. Damn clear. I just like, I was so confused by this video that's like proof of Lady Gaga performing a satanic ritual, because I watched it and I just could not find a satanic ritual in there, and I just that really kind of just threw me into a loop for a minute. And then I watched this, I read this thing about like the hidden meaning in Telephone. So I know you are the Beyonce fan on this podcast, so I know that you've seen the Telephone music video.
Oh, I have many times.
Okay.
It's a great video.
So
You know how there's the one scene in the video? We never got a part two for that video. I'm pissed. Because you know how, like, this is a rant. I'm going to go on this rant right now, now that you just reminded me of this.
Okay.
Is that back in the day, when you watched a music video, at the end of the music video, there would always be, like, if it was a really good music video, there would always be a to be continued at the end of the music video. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You watch a music video, it says to be continued. We never got a to be continued from that one. Like, we had a Beyonce, Lady Gaga, and a song together, and then it said to be continued. Okay, what happens next? What are, because when they do that, you think, okay, Beyonce and Lady Gaga, they're going to come out with another song, and there's going to be a video that's like part two of this video. But that never happened, and it's been more than 10 years, and I'm pissed. I want that now.
I'm so sorry. And when we become world famous podcasters and get our verified check marks on Twitter,
yeah,
I feel like the first thing you're going to do is tweet at Lady Gaga and Beyonce and be like, hey, where's this part two? And I support you. I support you and whatever you want to do with your verified Twitter check mark when you get it, because that's called friendship.
I think Beyonce's Twitter account follows zero people and has like 80 million followers. She's like, yeah, one of those. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Where...
So, but do you want to hear about all of the satanic meanings of telephone?
Yes.
Okay. So we have a scene by scene analysis, which I'm just going to kind of skip through.
In this video, the premise of the video is Lady Gaga and Beyonce get like arrested and like locked up. Right. Yeah.
Well, Lady Gaga gets locked up, and then Beyonce bails her out so that she can help her with her like mission that she needs to do.
Yeah.
So Gaga is in prison, and she is in the prison yard, and she's chained up, and she's wearing sunglasses made of lit cigarettes, which represent her blindness to her highly toxic life as a mind-controlled drone.
Oh, you know what you just reminded me of? When you said that she gets locked up. So she gets locked up, and she gets like thrown in jail, and you see her butt for a minute, but it's like blurred out. And one of the prison guards says, I told you she didn't have a... Do you remember that part?
Yes, because apparently there were rumors about her being trans, which is just inappropriate. Like, why do you care? Ugh. Anyway,
that was like a big rumor that I'd heard that people were talking about, and I'm like,
But like, why does it matter? She's beautiful. She's talented. She's who she is.
Right.
Why but this would it was, literally matter, like, what her DNA is?
This was, like, 2007, 2008, that time.
Yeah, like, I know things were different even just that long ago. I mean, that was before Orange is the New Black, like, because I never want to stop giving Laverne Cox credit for all the work that she has done.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Telephone being satanic. Among other, things that are super satanic, like... literally letting trans people live their lives and be happy. Super satanic. Okay, so she's in prison. She has a special status in jail and gets to take phone calls, and that's because she is obeying orders from the higher ups. The conversation between Lady Gaga and Beyonce in the car is meant to represent, according to this internet person, is meant to represent dissociation because they're both mind-controlled slaves.
That's a value judgment.
Yeah. When they say, like, trust is like a mirror, you can fix it if it's broke, but you can still see the crack in the motherfucker's reflection, that is, according to this internet commenter, meant to refer to the permanent damage caused by the fragmenting of one's personality when you are under mind control by the Illuminati. They go to a diner. Beyonce meets with this guy. She poisons him. Lady Gaga comes out of the kitchen with poisoned honey and serves it to all the customers. And people eat it and they die. And this, according to the internet, is meant to represent the Illuminati elite poisoning the masses with toxic media. And that's when she does the Illuminati hand in front of her eye. Because, just like putting your hand in front of your face in just about any way will get you called Illuminati by the internet.
Is that it? What else is there?
No, there's more of it. Beyonce has on Mickey Mouse sunglasses that are the sunglasses worn by Lady Gaga in the paparazzi video. Those sunglasses look like Mickey Mouse. Mickey Mouse designs in the occult refer to mind control, probably because Disney films were known to be used on MK slaves during their programming. So Disney represents mind control.
Everything represents mind control to these people.
Yeah. What is the patriotic outfits are somehow satanic. I'm not really following the person's logic on this thing. In the diner, we have some quoting again. In the diner, we have Lady Gaga and Beyonce dancing around dead people and singing about the fact that they are dissociative mind-controlled drones. Again, mind control. Because, like, the "you're not going to reach my telephone" is supposedly referring to the fact that, like, the person's not going to understand anything you're saying because they're dissociating, because they're under mind control by Satan or the Illuminati. It kind of goes back and forth.
This is
between
really,
whether it's Satan or the Illuminati. I'm not trying to be confusing. It's just, this is the conspiracy theory.
This really does not make a whole lot of sense to me. I don't understand where they're coming from.
And then Lady Gaga wears like the leopard print outfit after they leave the crime scene. And then this commenter quotes Ron Patton of Project Monarch, whatever the f- that is, who says, "This is referred to as sexual programming. The programming eliminates all learned moral convictions and stimulates the primitive sexual instinct, devoid of inhibition. Cat alters may come out at this level."
What?
Somebody from something, yeah, something from somebody from some place called Project Monarch said that Lady Gaga has been brainwashed and programmed to be sexual, and that now she's doing it to other people, and that wanting to wear leopard print is a sign that you have an alter ego that's a cat that's coming out because you've been brainwashed.
Wait, so he's saying Lady Gaga is a furry because she's wearing leopard print?
Yes, and also because she's brainwashed. And then there are Illuminati signs all over this video. Because the okay sign, like, you know how she does like the okay sign with her fingers and puts it over her eye?
Yes.
That apparently means 666 in the music industry.
It does? According to
vigilantcitizen.com.
Vigilantcitizen.com. This is a great website that you're, will you send me a link to this so that I can put a link to this in the show notes?
Yeah, I absolutely will. Actually, I'm just going to email it to you right now while I talk so that I don't forget to do
Vigilantcitizen.com.
Yeah, this is all coming from vigilantcitizen.com, who did a extensive write-up on all of the Illuminati symbols and telephone. Okay, here's my subject line. So every time she has one eye hidden, that's also an Illuminati symbol. Like when she's in the police tape and it's over one eye, like she's in like the caution tape. Her body is a crime scene because mind control victims go through trauma. And then in the end, when her hair is shaped like a telephone, that's supposed to, I remember him saying that represented something, and now I can't find what he said it represented. Probably mind control.
Maybe it's just to do with the fact that the song is called Telephone, and so she made her hair into a telephone.
No, it's because she's mind controlled and representing that to her listeners.
That is.
She also refers to electroshock therapy in her videos, not in telephone, but for some reason it's still in this article. In an interlude video of the Monster Ball tour, and then also in a photo shoot that she did, she refers to electroshock therapy, which also represents her being under satanic mind control. Surprise, surprise. So
this is too much.
In conclusion, according to vigilantcitizen.com, Telephone is yet another Lady Gaga product, permeated with references to mind control and Illuminati symbolism. Gaga's commentary on today's youth is certainly not a positive one. The video basically says, America is ready to eat any poisonous crap the elite serves them, and that is accomplished through controlled puppets.
I mean, if you look at, like, if you look at the entire world through that lens, then that's what you're going to see. I don't know, man. That's this is wild to me.
Yeah, and that's like, that's one valid point that I've heard elsewhere. It's like, if you look, if everything is the Illuminati, if everything is the Freemasons, if everything is Satan, then you're going to see it everywhere. Like, if you believe that it's everywhere, you're going to see it everywhere.
Yeah.
And I just think, like, my whole take on this, I always have to go back to logic. don't you think if there was a secret satanic cabal with thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of members all over the world, controlling literally every aspect of our daily lives and the media we receive and the way we live our lives and leading the world towards an end that is ultimately beneficial for them and probably terrible for all of us little people who are not part of the giant satanic cabal, don't you think they'd be a little bit more subtle? I don't see how it would benefit people who were running the world already to leave clues literally everywhere, like 18 clues in a Lady Gaga music video. I just don't feel like that makes sense, because with any conspiracy theory, the first question you have to ask if you're trying to make sense of or logic of a conspiracy theory is, okay, well, who does this benefit if the conspiracy theory is true? And who does it benefit if it's made up?
Yes.
Because who, so, okay, who would be benefited if Lady Gaga did sell her soul to the devil for fame and fortune and is now in the Illuminati and brainwashing you through her music videos?
Obviously the devil and the Illuminati, right?
Right. But who would it benefit if people completely made that up? I don't know. Maybe the people with a website that gets thousands of clicks off of this.
Yeah.
Or the people who want to change the laws of our country to line up more with their opinions on morality. And they need to scare you to do that.
Those are all fair points. I can tell you've been watching that QAnon documentary again.
Yeah, I've been super deep into that QAnon documentary because I am endlessly fascinated by how people get into cults and how people get into instances of extreme belief. And I don't think that's ever going to, be over for me.
No.
Okay, I have one more thing to say about Lady Gaga and then I'm done.
Okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to say like a brief word about blasphemy and religious references. Because
right, because she uses a lot of religious references in her music.
Yeah, especially in Judas and Bloody Mary. But there's like they're kind of all over the place. There are little phrases that are a subversion of a biblical phrase. Or
well, I think she had a Catholic. She had a Catholic upbringing, didn't she?
She did. Yeah. And like most people who are raised Catholic and become music artists end up doing something with that. Like,
well, the symbology is there, you know, you can just go to town on it. Right. You know that it's there. It's iconic.
Right. And even my favorite band, like, frequently visits religious concepts in their work and in the kind of in the lore of the band and in their lyrics and in a lot of different ways. Even in their stage costumes, really common for them to kind of go back to this religious and Catholic symbology. What I want to say, just in general, I feel like this is something that's been coming up a lot because we've been talking about metal and music in the Facebook group as well. I think a lot of people kind of wonder, how do I reconcile being Christian with blasphemous and religious references in music, specifically in heavy metal, but also in music like Lady Gaga. And I thought this just might be a good place to address that really quickly. A lot of these references just really don't offend me. Like, I just wasn't the biggest fan of Judas as a song, but nothing in that was really super offensive to me. That was kind of just like, scroll on past it thing. Some blasphemous and religious references do offend me or bother me when I run across them in metal or in pop music or wherever I happen to find them. But in general, I don't believe in a God so small that God could be diminished by someone saying something about them that I don't like. I just kind of feel like the God that I believe in is bigger than that. It's certainly possible for a person to say something about God that I don't particularly like or appreciate hearing. But I don't believe people will go on and on and on about this offends God or this hurts God. And I just really don't think God can be hurt by being made fun of. I don't know if I would really want to believe in a God that was so petty that a human could just say something and it would piss them off.
Right.
I really think I believe in a God that's a little bit bigger and a little bit more patient than that. Yeah. So sometimes there are things that people can say. I've seen memes that were offensive to me. I've heard songs that I felt like bothered me or were offensive to me. But in general, most blasphemous and religious references don't bother me. Most of them I find charming or interesting or funny. And on the rare occasion that something comes across my metaphorical field of vision that does bother me, I really just think that God is, I think that God is a little bit, is not, I think that God is not petty like that. I think that an eternal God who is bigger than any of us could ever possibly understand is really just not affected that deeply because somebody said something.
If only the IFB could learn your approach to that. But I guess then they wouldn't be the IFB, would they?
No. And I just thought, like, you know, we're dealing with Lady Gaga and she does have a lot of that type of imagery and in her videos and in her lyrics. So I thought this would be a good place to kind of explain my views on that. That's just how I look at it. I certainly don't, you know, think that every Christian should feel obligated to listen to or look at media that bothers them. But I think there are plenty of us Christians who do enjoy these types of media, and that's how this personally affects me. And I'd be interested to hear from any other Christians who are into Lady Gaga or heavy metal or anything else that does make these religious references, and how that works with your faith for you.
Yeah. All right. I think that's going to be
this
it.
This has been long and rambling, but it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. This has been a really good episode. I'm glad that we did this one. So check in with us again on Monday. We're going to have a conversation with Dinah Housefire, which will be crazy. We haven't recorded that yet, which we need to do.
We should probably do that.
Yeah. So we're going to do that. That'll be fun. And then we've got good stuff coming for July and good stuff coming for August. We're really excited for all of that. So if you want to join our podcast Facebook group, you go to facebook.com/EdenExodus. You can join our Patreon. All of our Patreon dollars for the month of June are going to the Howard Brown Health Center in Chicago, Illinois, which provides healthcare to the LGBTQ community. Anything else that we want to say? Send us your emails. If you've got questions for us, send us your emails, and then we'll do a Q&A episode coming up, and that's going to be good as well.
I think that's about it.
Yeah. So to follow the podcast on social media, go to on Facebook and Instagram, it is at Leaving Eden Podcast, and on Twitter, it is at Leaving Eden Pod. Sadie, do you want to plug your social media?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Hell Yeah Sadie. On TikTok at sometime soon at Hell Yes Sadie.
You're switching just, over.
I'm switching it. I'm switching it. I'm having an issue.
It'll be
Don't
fine.
Listen
You'll
to me.
It.
Just follow both Sadie Carpenter 1 and Hell Yes Sadie, because I will figure it out eventually with my technology backwards self. You can follow me on Instagram at Sadie Carpenter Music. Did I say that?
Yeah. And you can follow me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Clubhouse at GAVRIELHACOHEN. And until next time, you guys have a nice day. Bye-bye. But old rolling river tide peeled me in too many days. No regrets, no
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.